Welcome back to New Rockstars. What If turned out yet another episode leading us wanting more. But we are filling in the pieces with the mid-season trailer that just came out. Some new footage from remaining episodes seems to be pointing at some kind of mystery threat on the horizon in the season finale that the Watcher could tie all of these loose ends back together to fight. Who is this multiversal threat? And how close does the Watcher need to be to us to tell us about it? Because that breath is hot. This is Rogue Theory. It's a show where we pitch the wildest theories to the nerdy titles we love. MT did me a solid this week by jumping on the Easter egg breakdown, freeing me up to come back to host Rogue Theory. I'm so excited. I'm Eric Moss, and going rogue with me today, we have an amazing panel, including good friend of the show, Jessica Clemens.
Hi.
Producer and host of the Mass Effect Adventum podcast, Matt Acevedo.
Hey, everybody.
And back from his own astral plane, it's off-screen producer Brandon Barrick.
Hello, I'm back, baby.
Guys, I'm so excited to talk about where What If is at right now. Because assuming several of these characters from these past six What If episodes are going to return in the finale, what threat do we think they're going to face? And how will it tie into Multiverse of Madness? Because I think that's the title that this What If series is most steering toward. So are we going to be looking at a team of fallen Avengers that have to get resurrected? Because there was that one shot of Doctor Strange with, like, Party Thor from what sounds like an upcoming Ragnarok episode where Party Thor is like, hey, zombies, that sounds like a great idea. So are they going to like resurrect some of these Avengers we've seen die, like in the Nick Fury episode, bring them back to life in some crazy way? And then we might see a team of like villains teaming up, like Killmonger as Black Panther, as well as Ego. We know there's a shot of Ego with Peter Quill catching up with that episode two post-credit scene, or final scene, I should say. Collector, we might think, still be out there. Zombie Thanos, for sure, still out there. I think there will be an ultimate big bad that Uatu freaks out about and finally intervenes. Who do we think that could be? And how do you think that will tie in the Multiverse of Madness?
I kind of think that Doctor Strange is going to be a bigger deal, you know, after that crazy episode. I really think he's kind of leaning up to be out for some sort of revenge or something because Uatu didn't do anything at all. Uatu being the Watcher. And I kind of think, you know, because he had the opportunity to just save the world and he failed to do so, I think he's going to be out. Doctor Strange is going to be out for like vengeance. So I kind of think we're leading into an Original Sin territory where, like, you know, where Uatu is actually going to be the, like, it's leading up to Uatu dying. Someone's murdered Uatu, and I think it's going to be Doctor Strange. In the Original Sin comic, it's Nick Fury who takes on the role of Uatu as the Watcher. I think it's going to be Doctor Strange. He's going to kill Uatu, and it's going to lead to some sort of big multiversal thing. But it's going to end with, I think it's going to end with Stephen Strange being redeemed, but he's going to become the new Watcher at the end.
Oh, that'll be fun. Also, that's like a hell of itself, just becoming the Watcher, if
yeah,
that's what he has to become.
Who wants to have to watch everything? Like,
and then be like, I want to
interview. Look away.
Yeah.
You're making me watch.
You're making me watch.
I see all your gross things. Yeah.
It just seems like an eternal loneliness still of like, I can't really interfere, but I can see literally everything that's happening.
If you're the Watcher, you have to come up with all those like pithy comments and like clever metaphors all the time, like you're constantly narrating. It's a really tough job.
It's a lot. It's a full-time gig. You know, they say once you made it to hosting late night, you're set for life. But man, day in, day out, to come up with all those new rules, Bill Maher, who wants to live like he does?
I mean, he's not trying that hard anymore.
Picking that low-hanging fruit as he makes MSNBC host laugh at him feet away from him. Oh, God. Anyway, Matt, I wanted to ask you, so do you think in Multiverse of Madness, we might see a Watcher form as like a dark Doctor Strange? A Strange Supreme, and he would be like the Watcher of that Multiverse of Madness event?
That's what I'm thinking, especially after, you know, since this is canonical, What If it's canon in the MCU, and we're dealing with multiverse stuff in Multiverse of Madness, you know, I'm starting to think more and more that this is actually going to heavily impact that film, and I think that's the way it's going to go. I think that, you know, Stephen Strange is going to have to confront that Stephen Strange in some sort of crazy saving the multiverse kind of deal, which will end with, I think, our Stephen Strange will save the Stephen Strange has gone corrupt.
Do you think they're going to leave like Strange Supreme as animated and it'll be like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where you have like
oh, fun
Benedict Cumberbatch 3D versus 2D Benedict Cumberbatch?
What I think is that Uatu the Watcher just sees everything in animated form. Like that's okay. Like his yeah. rose-tinted oh. glasses that he sees the multiverse in. So at the end of it, we might see live-action Jeffrey Wright, who just like blinks and now he's back in live-action. And it just like helps him digest these complex, dark stories. Yeah. Just to see it animated. And that will just be the rationale of it.
And we're actually in Westworld, and he's just an android. Yeah. And
yes,
and
doesn't look like anything to me. I mean, can we just acknowledge real quick that Jeffrey Wright is in everything? He's going to be playing Gordon in The Batman. He was in Westworld. He was in The Hunger Games. Like, this guy can do no wrong. He already is Uatu the Watcher. He's in every possible fictional reality.
He's been watching it all, baby. I think the Watcher could be the big bad. That's a great theory, Matt. I mean, this first villain thing that we saw, the tentacled monster that we've seen in two different ones now, and they won't give us like a full shot of what it is. And then there's all these rumors of like Shuma Gorath showing up in, you know, Multiverse of Madness. It's like, if this tentacle monster isn't Shuma Gorath, then why haven't they shown it to us? Why are they hiding it? Why just the tentacles? There's got to be more to it. I think that could be the big bad, but I'm concerned about, there's been shots in the teaser of Gamora, right? Kind of wearing Thanos's armor.
Yeah.
And we know from episode two that Thanos gave up his like job, his quest, but maybe his daughter Gamora took it up. And she's going to out there to finish the job. And that's why these guys are going to have to come back together to kind of stop this Gamora who gets the Infinity Stones. And maybe she's aware of the multiverse and she's going to use those Infinity Stones to like cross the multiverse and really do some damage. Maybe get her family back that she lost from the, you know, I assume this Thanos that gave up his quest still murdered her family and then gave up. And she's probably like, what the hell? That was for nothing. I want revenge. I want my family back. I'm going to take them from whatever multiverse I can get. And that might be the big bad is Gamora herself.
I love that idea, Brandon. You know, what's interesting is, yeah, we do see Gamora in the trailer footage wielding that copter sword. But we also see Vision suited up in like an Ultron type armor with the Infinity Stones in his chest. I wonder if as part of this big melee final battle that all these heroes will be suited up in some kind of villainous's shell, whatever, like Hermit Crab stealing each other's shells to fight each other. I assume that happens. Like, I wonder if that could be something, the way it goes down, like some villain becoming the hero of their own story gives up their previous armor and then the hero takes that and they fight each other. I mean, well, it's all about toys, right? That's the kind of toy I want.
Right.
Yeah, that's a toy.
That sells, I mean, man. That sells.
Is that Vision even Vision or is that Ultron getting his final form?
That's what I was confused. I was thinking what Brandon was thinking when I watched it. I was like, oh God, it's Ultron.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the theory, right? That like it is Ultron's final form, what he wanted to create at the end of Age of Ultron before Helen Cho was like, but I want to revisit like Ego. Like, I thought we were done with Ego from that episode two scene, but in the trailer now we see him back in the Dairy Queen powering up Peter Quill. What do we think is next for that?
I think if this Ego finds a Peter Quill who didn't get the perspective of the one we saw in the MCU, you know, he could very easily just plunk that little battery boy and plug him into his system and, you know, wipe out a bunch of planets in the universe and finish that job that he wanted to do. I think that's the most dangerous part, is that this Peter Quill is not going to be put up a fight at all, or be like, hell yeah, let's do it, Dad. My life sucks. I'm mopping up soda spills at the same Dairy Queen where you banged my mom in the woods. Like, I got to get out of here. Get me out of here.
You banged my mom in the woods.
He's working at the same Dairy Queen where they banged in the woods.
He doesn't know that right now. I work at this Dairy Queen.
I love that. Do Celestials bang people's moms in the woods? I mean, come on.
If they do, does it make a sound? You bet it does.
You bet it does.
It's my favorite Dear Evan Hansen lyric. So, like, this Black Panther, Killmonger episode ended so open-ended, and we know in trailer footage, we do see Shuri and Pepper Potts leading the Dora Milaje, kicking ass. Like, have each of these standalone episodes just been the first act of, like, what is truly a big two-act event, and that they're not anthologies, that the Watcher's going to be like, no, I need you, I need you, I need you, I need you. Fight them.
oh, that sounds really cool. I would love for him to be like, everyone's a toy and I get to choose where everyone goes. My whole theory for this was essentially that I thought Zombie Thanos would eventually get all the stones because they were still stupid, but they were still capable of doing their jobs and using their powers and using any kind of technology. So if he collected all those stones and he was a zombie, do you know what he could do with all of that power as a zombie that's just like, I'm going to open the world and I'm just going to take it over and I'm going to do whatever I want. So if he did open up the like timeline or different multiverses or whatever and just bounced planet to planet, he could destroy everything instead of just doing the snap. So I assumed with that being said that opening that, he could open up a multi, not like essentially what we want from the multiversal war, but he could open and like release all the zombies into any kind of plane. And with that being, I think while that's happening, we have the second story. I don't think they're going to all come together and fight universally. I think we have what's happening in Wakanda on its own, because I think Eric Killmonger still has that mission of like, this is revenge for me. I hate the outside world for what they did to my people, how they oppressed them. And I hate what you guys did by to my father. So I'm just here to make sure you guys fight each other and I'm just the man out of it. So I think these fights are all going to be happening in different times. And so I don't think Ego is going to come into play right now. I think that's going to be a second season thing, because that's such a higher tier of what's going on. It's like, well, now I'm going to take over the world or like the universe. So I think we're just getting prepared for that. But right now we're going to have a fight between all different people. And at the end, we're going to have to make up this like really bad team of Avengers. And by bad team of Avengers, I mean who we have right now, who our current heroes are.
Let's round out this lineup that we think is going to be there for the whatever this multiversal Avengers team. I think we're talking about Gamora. I think we're talking about Captain Carter. Yep. Strange Supreme, maybe. Maybe Party Thor. The fact that we haven't seen that episode yet, but it seems like he's with them.
I think Spider-Man will be there.
The head of Scott Lang, I think, would be
the head of Scott Lang.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
I give him a battle suit, you know what I mean?
That's the part that I really want to see, is I was hoping if Thanos like opened up all these different portals, people would fall into different situations, even if he destroyed the world that he's in. And then like Spider-Man or any of the new Avengers would jump through and show up in the multiverse. And they're the ones that are like, oh, I came from an existence where zombie Thanos is a thing. Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, who knows?
I think Doctor Strange is going to play a good character at the beginning, but ultimately he's going to be the bad guy, because why would he want to go back to his timeline? There's nothing there.
Are you talking about like, Doctor Estrange or our Doctor Strange?
Evil Doctor Strange. Purple Doctor Strange. The bad
Doctor Strange or danger.
I don't think he'd want to go back to it, because like it's nothingness, and he probably would find a new Christine and be like, I can redo myself.
I think we'll definitely see T'Challa Star-Lord come back too, especially after that line that astral or ancestral plane T'Challa said to him, where he's like, you're going to get, you know, your comeuppance either from, you know, your plane or my plane. And I think, you know, we could have like the Killmonger who runs Wakanda and maybe took over that world. Who knows? He could get pulled into all this. And then, you know, T'Challa Star-Lord's going to show up and really freak him out and take him down.
Yeah. All right. So I think we have some really good thoughts headed into these final couple episodes of What If. I am going to award some points now. Jessica, you are going to get a point for your idea that zombie Thanos could be the Nexus being that causes a huge multiversal chaotic event. So you're getting a point. Brandon, you're going to get 2 points for suggesting that Gamora could pick up where her daddy Thanos left off. But also this reminding us of this interesting line from the recent episode of either on your plane or mine. I think that was a huge clue of where things are headed. Matt, I'm going to give you a point for your idea that Doctor Strange, evil Doctor Strange, or dark Doctor Strange, Strange Supreme, could be the next Watcher going this original sin direction. I think that's a cool idea. I'm also going to give you a point for Dr. Estrade.
Hell yeah.
I just love that.
Thanks, man.
But it's still anyone's game as we move on in this episode. But first, over at newrockstarsmerch.com, they have not one, but 2 Shang-Chi inspired shirt designs. There's the latest Obsession shirt, the Great Protector. It's got a cool dragon design. There's also a new shirt with that lovable fluff ball, Morris. Both are in limited supply. You got to snap them up quick. Get yourself a cool shirt. Help support New Rockstars and all the content we make. You can also get this What If shirt. Getting the What If shirt, the Great Protector shirt, allows you to write in those custom shout outs in our Inside Marvel episodes. But with fall upon us, it's now a great time to grab a New Rockstars hoodie or hat, start plotting that Christmas list around some other cool gear, like a New Rockstars bomber jacket or a King Shark backpack. I said King Shark backpack. That's on our OnlyFans. You can't get that on the merch store yet. But we're working on that crossover. There's just a lot of cool stuff that you can get that you won't find anywhere else. NewRockstarsMerch.com. Hey, we want to thank our sponsor of this episode, Mint Mobile. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by big wireless providers, we've learned that there's always a catch. So when we heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, we wondered, what is that catch going to be? Well, the catch is... there ain't one. They're the first company to sell wireless service online only. They cut out the overhead costs and pass on those sweet savings directly to you. And New Rockstars, Philip, reportedly switched to Mint Mobile, and he reportedly loves it. I say reportedly because I don't know how he feels. He's a Machiavellian. But he got to keep his phone and his number, and he is saving so much money. For people looking for extra savings, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. Just switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/rogue theory. That's mintmobile.com/rogue theory. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/rogue theory. All right. One of the big questions I had very early on watching episode 6 of What If was the fact that the reason Killmonger was in the Kunar province of Afghanistan was he said he was on some undercover mission with the Ten Rings. And they come out and say it. I love that they did this at the beginning of the episode, because now that we've all seen Shang-Chi, we're like, yes, I know what that is now. And I have a sense of what was going on with that organization around that time. Just to remind you, around 2008, that's right when Wen Wu kind of reactivated after all the stuff happened with his wife. So he basically was like, all right, I'm John Wick in this shit now. And he put the rings back on. He started rebuilding his empire. So now it seems like the Ten Rings organization might have appeared on more radars. Thus, why Killmonger has joined them. No word on why he wouldn't be joining them in the live action universe. It's What If. It's a different universe. Don't think too hard about it. But I want to ask you guys, what do you think his secret undercover mission with the Ten Rings was?
I was a little confused. So was he with the Ten Rings? Like, the Wen Wu's Ten Rings? Or, because I remember in Iron Man, wasn't the terrorist organization also the Ten Rings?
Yes. So that much hasn't been cleared. It is the same organization, but they got like local chapters, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But it's also not clear if Raza might have been appropriating the Ten Rings iconography the way that the Mandarin and Aldrich Killian did, Mandarin being Trevor Slattery Mandarin, right. Because they did have different logos, but it seems like Raza was a true believer. He seemed like he was a guy who was drinking the Kool-Aid of whatever the organization was.
He had the similar bows and arrows speech,
illusions,
right?
Illusions, like, of grandeur, yeah. Of Asian conquest, et cetera, et cetera. So I like to think that Raza was working from marching orders coming from Central Command.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Also, you said John Wiccan like a verb, but it sounds like John Wiccan as in he's a witch. Like,
ooh, John the Wiccan.
That would be a badass movie.
Yeah, only with Keanu Reeves. Yeah, so what was this undercover mission? Was how deep in was Killmonger? Was he just infiltrating the Afghanistan branch of it? Was he trying to find where Wenwu was in Asia?
I have a pretty crazy rogue theory for you. I did a little research on this one, okay? So these events of Iron Man, all right, they're taking place around 2008, okay? Uh-huh. We have the press conference after Tony has been saved by Killmonger. And our faithful reporter of the MCU, Christine Everhart, she points out, hey, you were 400 clicks. So your unit was 400 clicks away, right? Which, mm-hmm. if you look it up, that's about 250 miles, okay?
Okay.
Kunar province, it's right on the border of Afghanistan and Pakistan, okay? In 2008... Benazir Bhutto was assassinated in Pakistan, specifically in Rawalpindi. I may be saying that wrong, which is near Islamabad. Okay. It's about 250 miles away from Kunar. All right. So I think, here's what I think. Killmonger was still working for the government. He was in the military, right? And they had him embedded in the Ten Rings. And his group was tasked with taking out Benazir Bhutto, who used to be a prime minister in Pakistan. And he was not prime minister at the time, but he was leader of the opposition party, which was called the Pakistan People's Party. Okay. And so the government, you know, our government does not always do good things in other countries. They had Killmonger and his unit there to infiltrate the Ten Rings to make sure that they take out Benazir Bhutto. But during all of this, Killmonger finds out about this other plan the Ten Rings has and sneaks away from his unit to go save Tony Stark and set his own plan in motion. But I think that Killmonger also killed Benazir Bhutto. That is my rogue theory. That's what he was up to at the time.
Oh my God.
That is so rogue. I'm so mad. That's so rogue.
I mean,
that's
come so on.
Rogue. I'm not even going to say my stupid.
Because it really bugged me that Christine pointed out that the unit was 400 clicks away. He was not with his unit at the time. So what were they up to? That's what got me thinking about it.
I think you have a good point. That could have been what they were up to.
They didn't say the direction.
But I think you do bring up a good point that I think that went over a lot of people's heads. Really, Killmonger knew where Tony Stark was going to be. He wanted to be there to save Tony Stark so that he could get his hands on his tech and use it to reclaim Wakanda. I think that was his plan throughout from the beginning. Luckily that he was able to convince a drunk Tony Stark to make him COO of the company as opposed to a guy who just always thanked and bought a drink for at the bar.
I mean, I didn't have the in-depth detail that you did, Brandon. but mine was like along the lines of that as well. Like he was, you know, like on some sort of mission, but got wind of it because this is like a 10-year plan that Killmonger's mm-hmm. doing. He's like, you know, trying to seep in. So I kind of think at first it was like him trying to seep in maybe into the Ten Rings for his own reasons to like maybe get mm-hmm. them to aid in causing war against, you know, America and Wakanda, right? But he saw this juicy opportunity, this iron opportunity to go and save Tony Stark and you go down that path instead. But man, I gotta say that was just a really good one. But yeah, that's kind of, I mean, I think similarly he was just trying to do his own thing. But yeah, I think it was just an easier plan was to use Tony Stark instead.
What do you think, Jess?
Hey, Brandon, that was a great one. That was a great damn theory. I'm so mad. You should have gone last. Why did you go last, Brandon?
put me last, editors. I dare you. I dare you.
I was literally gonna, I guess, like the same as Matt. I was just like, I think it's the one thing that stuck to me was I was like, even though Killmonger is actually really smart and intelligent, I think it's still along the lines of he was undercover, probably doing something that's still aligned with what Tony Stark was doing, because why else would he be looking into the files of Tony Stark if he wasn't already working on like a Tony Stark mission? So I think, I thought he was just like, they were trying to steal like War Machine or rebuild something of Tony Stark's. And then they found out like, oh, you guys are getting all your money from Tony Stark's COO? That's weird. I'm going to release all these documents. So that was truly mine. Yeah. Not as cool as that. Not as rogue and not as cool as Brandon.
It was really cool. I do like the idea of thinking that maybe he, you know, he is a killer and he is very good. So maybe he was actually enlisted by Wenwu himself and like, you know, like was raised upon the actual Ten Rings. And maybe the phrase blood debt has to be played with blood. Right. Maybe that like that was like the thing that really kicked it into gear. I don't think so, but I like to think of like, oh, maybe they had like a little exchange. Maybe Killmonger and they had a little conversation over some, you know, good Chinese food.
Killmonger has too much confidence in that his plans, it did go exactly as planned, but I was like, there could have been an easy up in this. And yeah. it's making yeah. me so mad that it was so flawless for you.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, it you could be right.
He also constantly mumbles under his breath that he's like doing the opposite. You know, he's like very ballsy in that respect.
Two times in the episode, he straight up was like, yeah, the people are like, he's a piece of shit. And he's like, I am a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Because I found this. And I was like, will you stop?
I'm going to punch you in your face.
I like how, I do want to say, I like how facially mischievous this Killmonger is. Like every time he does something bad, he's like, oh yeah, you know, Wakanda forever. Smirk to the camera. Like, like,
yeah.
He smirks all the time in this.
Also, yeah, Wakanda forever.
The government let him put Killmonger on his outfit.
Like, yeah.
That's messed up, guys. Also, I'm also so tired of the colonel just being like, yeah, no, he's an American hero. He's a Navy SEAL. He's never going to betray us. I'm like, his name is Killmonger.
You let him put Killmonger on his outfit.
He scars himself, which I know that's a ritualistic thing, but this guy is like, he's hiding it under his shirt. Like, so he feels a little bad about it.
He's a little self-conscious.
It was a wild to hear Thunderbolt Ross like bring up the Patriot Act, huh? Like, to take over a business. Yeah. That's some heavy stuff, man.
That's a Bush era term. Yeah, yeah. Never heard of it.
It was also crazy because I think you're right about Wenwu. You know, this could be like they had him infiltrating the Ten Rings because like Wenwu was like coming back to power and like the government was like, something's going on with this terrorist organization. They've been quiet. Now they're moving again and they're getting things done. So it could have been that like the government wanted him to get close to Wenwu or close to whatever the head of this organization that is so mysteriously powerful.
See, I think the Ten Rings would be Killmonger's next target. Like, I think he rose high enough. I think he's aware of what's going on there. Now with the forces of Wakanda under his thumb, he can go east and go sack whatever Wenwu has built. Because his goal is not Wakanda. His goal is global domination and global liberation. Yeah.
Tear everything down, you know?
Yeah.
Like everything.
So. Well, I guess Wenwu's people I guess it would kind of align.
Right. I think Wenwu is just all about conquest, right?
Yeah, he was about getting power. He wanted
I think
all
he
power.
Wants to steal what Wenwu has. He wants to take his empire. And then just kind of unite the globe under his rule, under his vision. But I agree with what you guys are saying. I think that's kind of been an issue I've always had with Killmonger as the way he's portrayed in the MCU. Is like, yeah, he's cool. I love the choices Michael B. Jordan has made with the character. A lot of the stuff Ryan Coogler wrote for the character. But it's just like so easy for him to do what he does.
Yeah.
And like there is kind of like a Joker quality, like Dark Knight Joker, where he just kind of shows up and he's got some cool plan. Like that London Museum plan was pretty fun. But like we saw him struggle. We saw what his loss was. But then after that, like, I'm glad that he lost in Black Panther because it's like, yes, there's no way he'd be able to maintain rule over Wakanda. This is like a millennia old kingdom. Like, surely someone would have tried to steal the throne in the past. But in this episode, it's kind of hard to watch where it's like everyone else seems so stupid. Yeah. Like, T'Chaka seems so stupid. Like, the fact that, yes, they all question at the beginning, but T'Chaka's like, no, I feel kind of bad.
Yeah, my son didn't just die, and I'm going to give over his legacy to this man that just showed up out of nowhere.
And he knew that he left Eric behind.
You know, right.
Yeah.
He chose to leave him behind.
Right, yeah. So, whatever. It's what if. It's what if.
It's what if.
What if.
What if.
What if.
At the end of What If, I think we needed that part where it's like he went into the world thinking he probably was going to see his dad, and instead it was T'Challa being like, are you happy with what you f***ing did?
He's like, where's my dad? He's like,
he's like, dude, move. Where's my dad?
He's in the bathroom.
I haven't seen him since I was 8, and it's like, yeah, well, you got me instead.
Surprise, motherfucker.
The man you killed, surprise, motherfucker. The guy you killed 2 days ago. Your cousin.
None of those other Panthers are coming out of the trees. Just me.
Yeah, they ain't coming out. You guys stay up there. Stay up there. Stay up in your trees. Don't you come down.
Also, he went straight to the tree. He didn't go to the apartment.
Yeah, he didn't go to all this time.
That's what happened.
Why
that's
go
his
to
first
the tree?
Fault. His first fault. You should have went back to your childhood home where your dad died. What are you talking about?
Guys, this is too much. Brandon, obviously you get a point for doing some research there. That was an incredible theory.
Yes, you do. That's a rogue theory.
Jessica, I'm also giving you a point out that you talked to T'Challa, not in Jobu. That doesn't make any sense.
I was like, God damn, that's ruthless. He just like, I was like, you killed me. You don't get to talk to your dad now.
All right, we got to move on to rogue questions. So here is our question. The recently revealed Hawkeye trailer teased us a fully staged Broadway musical called Rogers, based on the life of Captain America. So I want you to pitch me one scene or musical number in this musical, sung by the characters involved. Bonus points if you can sing me a lyric from the musical.
This is a good one.
Okay. Well, I think if this is a musical about Steve Rogers, so you're going to have, at some point, you're going to have to deal with Bucky. You know, we didn't see any Bucky in the one little clip we got. I hope the whole first episode is just this musical. That's all I want to see. But I think you're going to have the scene where Bucky falls off the train and he loses Bucky. And then Bucky comes back in the second act for the reprise. But the song that they're going to have is going to be titled Brothers in Arms.
We froze.
Because, you know, Bucky loses his arm. Classic stuff. Aww. And a lyric from the song will be like, I'll never let you go. You'll always be my bro. That's the song.
Yes. Yeah. And then all the tracksuit Russians in the audience will go, bro.
Bro. Bro.
I think the intro number will come in and it's going to be skinny little Rogers at a little desk. And he's just singing like, when I grow up, I'm going to be a soldier. When I'm older, I'm going to be big. And he's singing about it. And then immediately the lights turn on and there's these buff soldiers that are like, you're too skinny. You're too small. Get it out. You're never going to fight in the war. You're going to die at a computer.
He's like, what war? What computer?
He's going to work on the computers. And I don't know what time we're talking about the computers. You know, so they're going to be doing that. And then they're going to be like, there has to be like that scene where there's different voices of men. And they're going to be like, you're too scrawny. There's going to be that one that's shoulders up here. He's like, you're too scrawny. Push him into the big guy. And he's like, you're too short. Throw him up into the air. And he's gonna be like, you're too asthmatic. And it's like, it's the intro of him getting bullied. And then he goes, whoa, and spins into Peggy Carter's arms. Aww. Or not Peggy Carter's. Well, yeah. He spins into her arms. And then she's just like, don't listen to them. You're gonna be a man someday. I don't know why it's always a man thing, but I don't know. It is.
It's always a man thing.
And then she spins him into the little tube where he turns into the big ass man. It's a little jumpy. Yeah. It's a little jumpy. Never said I love theater. Didn't say I was a screenwriter for it, though.
I think that's great. And then you can like call it 4F. That was his code for being rejected.
Oh, there you go.
But then it can go straight into 4. Sake, why am I so small? Yeah.
Why am I tiny?
Jessica, you gotta have him get buff in the first song. I think you need to get it out of the way as quickly as possible.
There's so much to fill. There's too much.
That's true.
There's too much.
I went to town on this when I saw it. So a little bit about me. I back when Hamilton like just came out, I did like a thing called Hamiltoons in LA. And we did like sign up and like come sing a song from Hamilton. So I got some friends in there, and when that came out, we just started talking immediately. And here are some of my favorites that we came up with. One of them is from Thanos' perspective, and it's definitely played by Jonathan Groff, and it's You'll Be Snapped. And it's literally him singing about it's him building up. It's three times throughout the show. It's like we go up to the, you know, it's we have three acts in this play. Mm-hmm. We have Captain America 1, we have the Captain Battle of New York. And then the third act is like a mix of like Winter Soldier and to like Endgame, right? But he has three times where he comes out and sings You'll Be Snapped. And it's like, it's Jonathan Groff, it's like spoken word almost. Like you'll be snapped. Soon you'll see. You know, it's just literally you'll be back, but you'll be snapped. Uh-huh. And then there's the Battle of New York instead of the Battle of Yorktown. Right. Mm. And it's just like we're in it. It's the first time they all come together. And it's like, it's Phil Coulson is the one who says, like, you have to avenge them. You know, I don't know. Anyways, it's a whole thing. I'm getting too excited about this.
I love it.
Like, I eat this shit up, man. And, there could be, like, Your Obedient Servant, but it's, like, Captain America and Iron Man, right? Because they're in Civil War. It's, like, the peak of Civil War. And, like, they're, like, kind of talking shit to each other about, like, the chords and stuff like that.
Oh, I love that. Love it. Can we have a Thanos lullaby where it's like, dear Mike Mora, what to say to you?
It's going to be, it's Thanos singing Gamora, and then the other one is Tony Stark singing to What do you call his daughter? Morgana. Morgana. Yeah.
There also has to be a scene that's like R&B and sensual, and it's when he's listening to Marvin Gaye.
Oh yeah.
And we have to we just have to recognize
yeah.
it.
And then Ant-Man sings What I Miss, because he
What I Miss.
Oh, that's perfect. That is perfect. I am going to Matt, it sounds like you have thought this through quite a bit. You will get a point for all your thinking there. Jess, it sounds like you had the most narrative figured out. Like you kind of painted the clearest picture of what that opening number was. Will be. So I gotta give you a point on this one. I think all three of you guys deserve the win on this one. All three of you had some amazing theories. I have missed your theories so much. And you both delivered. You delivered at the end there. I gotta say, none of you phoned it in. I'm so proud of all of you for really committing hard to that final question. Not an easy one. Some might balk at it. Not you three. Well, that is it for this episode of Rogue Theory. I want to thank all of our guests, Jessica Clemens, Matt Acevedo, Oscar and producer Brandon Barrick. And you can support this channel by checking out our latest Obsession shirt by Shang-Chi and our brand new shirt by that Chicken Pig Morris and our What If shirt as well. Follow all three of these amazing people on social media. Support all their other projects that they're working on. Show them some love online. And if you want to get some merch, newrockstarsmerch.com is where you can find it. You can follow me at EA Boss, follow New Rockstars on all social platforms. And be sure to subscribe, of course, to our channel here on YouTube. I will see you next time. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.